so much to tell you, Mom and Dad. Because of the fire in my dorm set off by the student riots, I experienced temporary lung damage and had to go to the hospital. While I was there, I fell in love with an orderly, and we had moved in together. I dropped out of school when I found out I was pregnant, and I got fired because of the drinking. So we are going to move to Alaska, where we might get married after the birth of the baby. Your love, daughter, P.S., none of all this happened, but I did flunk my chemistry tests, and I wanted to keep you in perspective. Sometimes there's ways of butting up your parents. That has nothing to do with my sermon. Anyway, it is love never fails. Love never fails. If we can get that on there, that would be great. Jesus declared what the most important thing is. You know, in the Bible, it talks about something that's very important, right? But in the world, you can have everything, right? You can have money. You can have millions of dollars. You can have a mansion on the hilltop. You can have fame. You can have everything. You can even do something good. You can actually feed the poor. You can have all kinds of spiritual gifts. But if you don't have this one thing, you have nothing. And what is that one thing? That is, it's called love. Almost all brokenness is caused by twisted love or lack of love. We need air, we need water, we need food. But my friends, to live a human life, healthy human life, you need love. Amen. Says amen to that. There is a Beatles song that says, love, love, all you need is love. How many remember that from the 70s? Some of you guys. I listened to that. And you know what? They're right. All you need is love. His love. God's love. Jesus said it this way. He says in Mark 12, 29, he says, the most important one answer, Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And how about we read the rest of it together? Lord, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandments greater than these. Amen. Do you mind switching? I realize that, this is the next one, that a lot of us, have a wrong idea of God. We think somehow God is up there and I'm down here. And so to love God, I somehow have to climb up the ladder and embrace God who is up there somewhere. And if I do the right things on the right way, according to the law, I will somehow be embraced by the Father and says, well done. That, my friends, is not Christianity. That is a false understanding of God. If you're going to love God, you're going to love God with truth. Let me say it this way. Love means you are making steps towards that person or in that case, God. So, Janet, would you mind standing up? I love my wife. I love my wife. I really love my wife. But does that look like it? No. I'm backing off. And it's not because she smells bad. She smells really good. But if I love her with all my heart, I will make steps towards her and I will see the beauty in her. I will see the best in her. I will bring out the best. I cannot imagine the bad things. I can just see the good things in her. And I will declare it over her. I will bring it to her. I will give it to her. I will not hold all the wrong things against her. All the bad things. I will see the good in her. And I will love her. Thank you. Love is bringing you in connection with that person. Even though, now hear me, even though they may not respond. Even though they may not respond. They may not. Love, and I gotta say this to you, my friends, is not giving somebody what they want. How many knows God does not give you everything you want? No, love is giving that person what they really need. But here's the challenge. You see, it says, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and with all your strength. But how can I? I cannot see God. I can see my wife. I can see my children. But what about God? And here it is. You see, God is spirit. He is spirit. But he's one more thing. He's also truth. He's spirit and truth. And if you're going to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you're going to have to love him in spirit and in truth. How many says amen to that? And so here it is. When God is up there and you try to walk yourself up there, you will not experience what it means to worship him in spirit and in truth. This is what it says in 1 John chapter 4. It says, sorry guys for flipping. How many likes my cartoon? I just thought, you know how many hours it took me to draw that? There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. So I love God because he first loved us. But how? How can that be when his spirit and in truth? You see, God came down from heaven. He came in the person of Jesus. And he came to look you in the eye and tell you, I love you. And when he have ascended into heaven, he left us the Holy Spirit and the Word of Truth. And it's the Holy Spirit and the Word of Truth that communicate to us his love. In Romans chapter 5, it says, he demonstrated his love by while we were still sinners, he died for us. Amen. God came down, my friend. If you don't mind, I have one more picture. Oh, I am getting so creative. You see, God is not just over there. He's not just up there. He's in here. Jesus said to us, if you abide in him, he will abide in where? In us. He says, you're looking for the kingdom everywhere, but actually the kingdom is within you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God is not too far away. But it can feel like he's far away. It can seem that he's far away. So my friends, if there's a distance between you and God, it is not because God has moved. It is because you have moved. It's because you have gone somewhere. And it's not because God is not there, because he is right with you. So what is it that breaks this connectedness with God, that breaks this love? In the story of Genesis, there is Adam and Eve. How many knows that Adam and Eve was connected with God in the garden? They were, you know, how does that old hymn go? Walk with him, talk with him. That's what Adam and Eve. But one day in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, you have God coming into the garden. And he says, where are you? Where are you? Can I just say this again? When God asks, where are you? It's not because he doesn't know where you are. It is frequently because you don't know where you are with God. And so they came out of hiding. He said, we were naked, so we were hiding. He says, who told you that you were naked? Why were they hiding? Perfect love casts out all fear. But why were they hiding? Because of shame. Because of guilt. Shame and guilt cuts the connectedness, destroys the oneness. And they were afraid of the punishment. They were afraid what's going to happen. Sometimes, my friends, people live in fear around each other because they're afraid of the other person and how they're reacting. Some people live on eggshells. But that's not love. So what happens? God says, so who told you? And Adam says, she did. She made me eat the apple. And she said, Satan made me do it. If you don't mind coming to the next slide. You had it there. It's my beautiful picture. I am so proud of the other one. You got it. Do you know how easy it is on the whiteboard? It took me 2 seconds. This took me 2 hours. Shame, guilt, and fear. And you know what it's driven by? The lies of Satan. But hear me. Some of you are going to say to me, well, they did wrong. They actually rebelled against God. And they did. And that is their sin. But why did they do it? Because Satan had come along and said, is it wrong to eat of the forbidden fruit and is it wrong to eat of all the trees? And they said, no, it's not wrong to eat of all the trees. There's only one tree we can't eat of. If we eat of that tree, we'll die. And Satan said, no, you will not die. You, my friends, the root of their shame and guilt and disobedience came because they believed the devil who said, God is not a good God. He doesn't want the best for you. And because of that, they took charge. And here comes the problem. My friends, when you have a distance, just stand up again, honey. If you have a distance, in fact, do you want to turn around? Okay. Does this look like a oneness, a connectedness? No. We've had a little fight. You know, a little disagreement. I mean, she was absolutely wrong. And and I was trying to tell her, but she didn't agree. And so I slept in the doghouse, and she slept in the bed. No, that's not true. But what's going to make this distance disappear? Turn. And said, honey, I'm so sorry that I hurt you. You know what? It's the same with God. It's the same with God. The Bible says that Jesus is full of grace and truth. It's the same with him. I can't remember if I put one more. I think I did. If you confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But God demonstrates his own love for us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's a story in the Bible demonstrating this love. Well, several, many stories. But there's one story in Luke chapter 7 where Jesus is invited by a Pharisee to come and eat a meal. Remember that back then they didn't sit at tables like the way we do. And sometimes the Lord's table is portrayed as if they sit at a table, but actually they did not. They lay down. The table would be this tall. And their feet were sticking out. But in this story, you need to know that, because in this story, a woman who was a questionable woman, she was a prostitute. She came in. I don't know why she came in. I don't know why she came, but I believe she had heard of Jesus and what he did. And this woman came in, and she laid down at his feet. And I think she looked in his eyes, waiting for judgment to be made, waiting for somebody to ridicule her and to scorn her. But what she saw in his eyes was mercy. And out of that mercy, she began to cry. And her tears wetted his feet. She began to wipe his feet with her hair and began to kiss his feet. And then she took the most expensive perfume that you could buy at the time and she poured it on his feet. Expensive means it was probably a whole year's wages. And she poured it on his feet. And the smell of the perfume permeated the whole room. And you can see the people sitting there saying, yuck, kissing his feet. Yuck, what a waste of perfume. Who is this guy who allows this yuck to happen? Who would ever do that? If he really is who he says he is and a prophet, he would know that this is the questionable woman who is a prostitute. He would know that. And Jesus says this, Simon, I have something to tell you. There was a man, a moneylender, and he had two people who owed him debt, one 500 denarius, another 50. And the 500 won, and the 50 couldn't pay the debts. He canceled them both. And so, which one of those two loved the most? And Simon said, well, of course, the one who had canceled 500 denarius. He said, she has been forgiven much, so she loves much. So in the healing lodge, a lady said to me, well, Hans, most of us in here have sinned much, so we love much. But what about those who have done nothing? What about those who haven't done anything like we have done? And I put my name up on the whiteboard. Said, this is Hans. And in your eyes, I'm probably pretty righteous. But I tell you, if I put up a list of everything I have ever done, and maybe not even done, but the things I have ever thought of in my heart, I'm as guilty as any one of you. I'm as guilty as any one of you. I've lied. I've stolen from my mother. I've hated in my heart. Jesus said, if as much as hate in your heart, you have murdered in your heart. I am as guilty as any one of you. And I need his mercy as much as that woman needed her mercy. And because of his mercy, I can stand before God and say, thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. You see, came to meet the greatest need I have. And my greatest need is to receive his mercy and love. Perfect love casts out all fear. His love is perfect. There is no other love like his love. The closer I go to God, the more I realize what he has done for me. The closer I grow to God, the more I realize what sin looks like in his eyes. But in his eyes, in his word, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. It is his love that sets you free from guilt and shame. How many likes to be free of guilt and shame? Amen. I'm going to end this sermon with this story from the Bible. There was this young pastor. And this young pastor, he was getting ready in Bible school, seminary. He was getting ready to get into ministry. And so he was crying out to God, God, give me a wife. And one night at 1:30 in the morning, God says, I got a wife for you. Get up and go down the street. He goes down the street and he says, turn right. He turns right. Goes down the street, turn left. He turns left. And then he says, but God, this is across the tracks. You lead him across the tracks. Across the tracks, there's just prostitutes and pimps and gambling, and this is the wrong place. Maybe over there across the tracks, there's somebody who is reaching out to the poor and the drug addicts who I can fall in love with. Maybe there is this perfect girl over there. And he comes across the tracks. And he comes across the tracks. He sees the woman standing against the light post with those net pantyhose and lo and behold t-shirt or whatever you call those things. And I didn't get that right. I can't tell that. And see, leaning up against there, and I got this line from Ricky, okay? Richie, I didn't make this up. I got this line. The young man, this pastor, came up to her and said, I think your dad is a thief. He said, what do you mean by a thief? Well, I think he stole the stars out of the sky and put them in your eyes. She laughs. And says, what's your name? And my name is Hosea. He says, what's your name? My name is Gomer. Don't ever name your child Gomer. He falls in love with her and she falls in love with him. She has never, ever experienced somebody who actually loved her for who she was. How many knows that a lot of love is a twisted love? It is controlling, manipulating, getting what I want. This was pure love. And he married her. They had three kids. And then life becomes rum-dum. They don't sleep. There's teething and there's diapers. And he's busy. And she gets lonely. And then she decides to go to the gym. And in the gym, there's this handsome guy who pays attention to her and maybe even touches her. And begins to say things that she remembers men would say to her when she was on the street and she had longed for in her marriage for a while. And before she knows it, she's on the telephone, texting, tweeting, Facebook, and there is an affair. But now there's not just one affair, there's two affairs, and then there is more, and she doesn't come home at night, she only comes every 3 days, and he's fighting and angry with her, and she leaves, and one day she doesn't come back at all. And then it says in Hosea chapter 3, one day God said to her, to Hosea, go and buy her back. And you have the picture of Hosea walking down the street and with his kids. And one day he sees the marketplace and where they're auctioning off women. And as he goes and he looks there and he sees his wife. They're all naked. That's how they sold them. She looked haggard, broken, in despair. He looked at her, and he sees that she's coming up on the auction block. He says to his kids, run home and get all the money that you have, we can find. I tell you, they're in the cupboard. Get all the money, and when there's not enough money, bring the grain that is sitting in the wheelbarrow. And they bring the grain and the shekels. And with everything they have, they buy her back. Do you know what this is a picture of? It's a picture of Jesus coming after us. We sing that song. He's coming after us. And when we mess up, he's still coming after us. Not because he has to, but because he loves you. How many has messed up? My friends, that's the truth of the God I serve. God has not moved, but sometimes I move. Sometimes I don't come home. Sometimes I don't worship him. Sometimes my heart is cold, but he's still there knocking on the door because his mercy abounds. Amen. I just want to let you know who has read the story in Hosea that I just added to the story. Okay, it was a bit of my own imagination and whatever I heard others do with that story. But I want you to have the picture of a God who pursues you. He chose you. He found you. Amen. So why would somebody sit down with a bunch of riffraff of boys, young men, adolescents, 20 years old, 80 year old, 18 year olds, around the table, knowing that in a few minutes or in a few hours, they are going to run away in fear, knowing that one of them is going to betray him? Why would he sit down and break bread and say, I have a covenant for you? Who would ever do that? Who would ever sit down and say, I have a relationship I'm inviting you into? A relationship that you cannot really enter into without some terms being fulfilled first. It is a covenant of promises that you cannot actually enter into because you cannot fulfill these terms. But because I will fulfill the terms, you will have full access to all that God has for you. How can you become righteous and holy and sanctified in your own power? You can't. You cannot fulfill that, but Jesus did for you. That you become a child of God, set apart for his holiness. So let's take communion. Can have the elders come.